Random thought. Do men fall in love with a woman whose bedroom skills are non-existent? And this comes from our Married at First Sight recaps. This is from the reunion recap part one when M. White posed this question because, you know, you were always like, well, Gil fell in love with Merla, so maybe Merla's, you know, got that fire, that fire, right? And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. And so what M. White is saying, if Merla was trash, I'm wondering if Gil would have fallen in love, especially since they'd only been together 8 weeks when he said he was in love with her. So the question comes, do men fall in love, or can a man fall in love with a woman whose bedroom skills are meh?
I won't speak for myself here, but... I will say that I do think it's possible that a man can fall in love with a woman, even though the sex is not good or they're not compatible in that way. She could be a great partner. She could be a great support person. She could be a great mother. You know, all these different things that could make her great. So could he fall in love with her? Yes. Now, would I guess that the odds of him cheating are going to be higher? Sure. that's quite possible. Right. And it makes me think about when you watch the old school mafia movies, right? The Italian mafia movies. And they would marry this woman that's going to be this great mother, take care of their kids. But they have all these mistresses that they do other stuff with. And then I think I was watching one movie and they were asking the guy, like, you know, why don't you do that stuff with your wife? And he's like, that's the mother of my kids. You know, that kind of stuff, you know, whatever freaky thing you might be into, you don't want to look at your wife that way. That's the mother of your kids, maybe, you know. But on the flip side, I do think that women, and I'll even throw this out there. And so if the person that put that question on there, definitely comment. I would say more women would fall in love with a guy where the sex is great, but everything else about him is trash. Hence why I think that's why you see men with no jobs and nothing that they bring to the table in relationships. Because it doesn't add up to me.
Women like a fixer-upper. You see, here's the thing. And this is the difference between guys and girls, right? Because when we look at a woman, we see what she is, right? Mm-hmm. And when women look at a man, they can see what he could be. Or what they think he could be, or what they feel they can. They see the base model of this car. You know, for those guys who fix up cars, they see a car and be like, that's just gonna be fire when I get done with it. So it may not ride good right now, but when I get done, this shit's gonna be great.
And that's true. And I think there are people that have that fixer-upper mindset. They have to, it's like taking in strays. You know, you have to like take care of something. And I've never understood that, because to me, I think we should just be realistic. If I'm looking at a chair, it's a chair. I can't say, you know what? Mm-hmm. If I love it enough and do these things for it, it'll turn into a couch.
Is that chair comfortable enough to put you to sleep?
Yeah, it's comfortable, but it's still only going to be a chair. I can't like just keep sleeping in it, and one day I'm going to wake up and it's going to all of a sudden now recline. And now it's all of a sudden going to be leather.
So it is possible.
It is possible. It is possible that that can happen. I just think the potential of cheating, that factor goes up a lot higher. You know, I think you can love a person a lot, but if you have that itch that that person just can't scratch, somebody's going to go scratch it. You know, what's that saying? If cats not fed at home, they go digging in the garbage.
Look, let me tell you something, okay? That old school mentality of, well, that's the mother of my child. That mother of your child will be doing that with somebody else, okay? Let's get that straight. But the other thing I think is if you take that question that was posed and flip it, does it still apply? Like, because someone has exceptional bedroom skills, does that mean you can fall in love with them? Because if that was the case, I think you and I would have fallen in love with some scallywags a long time ago.
And that's a good question when you put it that way. It can lead to it. I've had some situations where I'm just like, oh my God, that was amazing. And then the more you get to know them, you're like, oh shit, that. Oh, the meth, that. I can't. You know, you start to learn about some things that you're like, I don't think I could deal with that long term, and then reality, you know, sinks in. But it is quite possible. You know, I look at it like a restaurant. You know, we've all eaten out. There's places that you can eat out all the time, but there's those restaurants you go to where you're like, damn, that was good. I can't wait to come back here. I'm gonna save up money to come back here. So off one meal, fell in love with it. That's now my favorite place to eat.
The problem with that kind of satisfaction is that you go back enough times and all of a sudden, now it becomes kind of average. So it's like, because there are places that you eat consistently that you won't go every time you go eat. You're like, God damn, that was amazing. But you're like, this shit's consistent. It's good. It's great for me. Well, I got to spend $500 for it, though.
Well, but then that's my point. You have all these other regular restaurants that you go to on a regular basis, hence your wife. But then every now and then, you go to Perry's.
I am not going to let you even finish that sentence.
You go to
my
Perry's,
wife watches
right?
the podcast. I'm not even letting this finish.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying, like, back to the story about falling in love. It's like you have this person, this restaurant you go to on a regular basis, consistent food, consistent service. You get it. But every now and then, you're going to hit a Ruth Chris up. Or you might hit up a Perry's. Once a quarter, you're just going to splurge.
You keep this up, we're going to be recapping Marriage Boot Camp, and I'm going to be on this goddamn show. And you better stop this shit right now. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
And hopefully it didn't go this way. We are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 64. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
You know, you made, especially just on that last recap video we did, because we did two this past week, one for the part two of Married at First Sight reunion, the other for the Where Are They Now special, which neither of us realized actually aired that same night. Thank you to our wonderful followers and subscribers who actually let us know that, so we were able to cut it and put it up, and it's up there now. So if you missed it, go back, check it out. But in that episode, Terrell, again, I don't know. Look, trust me, this is not scripted when he does this. He just goes off the cuff and says these things. And one of the things he said, I'll let you just repeat it again.
What I had said was, when we reach our 400th subscriber, that I would give away $100 to the 400th subscriber. Mm-hmm. Well, Yanni educated me that on the back end, you can't see it that way. It doesn't like come up like, here's number 400. And so I'm like, well, true, and that's only fair to like new subscribers. So we got a lot of you guys who have been subscribing and following us all up ever since we've been doing this for a little over a year now. So changing it to, as soon as we reach 400, we will do a random Regular Guys Random Thoughts $100 giveaway. And so we'll pick at random, find a person, and the way for us to say thank you to a lot of the listeners, a lot of the people commenting, a lot of the people that either encouraged me through this Married at First Sight bullshit recap that we did, or just laughed with me throughout that whole deal. So we definitely want to do that. We're at 372. So we just need 28 more subscribers. So
373 now.
27 more subscribers.
See how easy this works? And so basically what it is, make sure you comment under this episode. We'll pick someone from there and it'll be in the running, and pick someone from there who gets the $100. And the great thing is, you don't have to wait for a check from Terrell. You don't have to wait, because since he threw this out there, he's going to pay this, right? So it's, you don't have to wait for a check from him, a money order, a certified check, none of that. We've got Cash App, we got Venmo, and we've got Buy Pigeon. So either way, you'll get that money.
50 cents in Bitcoin.
Look, a lot of craziness happening in the news. We heard what happened with the Kyle Rittenhouse. We saw that happen. And by the time we did last week's episode, there wasn't a verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery case. And you and I both said, we see how this is going to go. We've watched the judge and the defense attorney get, they're so comfortable they can say whatever they feel, and which black bastards they didn't want in the courtroom.
They said pastors.
Yeah. We're just translating for him. He didn't want in the courtroom, so, and felt comfortable enough to say that. But then, lo and behold, the verdict comes in, and it's not what we expected. At least not what I expected.
No, I was quite surprised too, and I'm happy that it turned out the way it did.
Indeed.
Especially for the Arbery family. But I was a little surprised, I guess, after Rittenhouse. Because I remember after the Rittenhouse verdict, I just kept looking at social media and be like, okay, who's burning shit up? Like, who's going to be the first city to cause an issue? And so with this case, I'm thinking it's great. You know, justice was served. They're all found guilty. Now, what's interesting now is that the former DA that originally had this case has been arrested. And she's accused of showing favor to the McMichaels. But so when the McMichaels shot Mr. Aubrey, one of them used to work for her, used to be a cop and was an investigator until 2019.
Yeah.
He calls her, and they have the recording. He says, "Hey, I need you to call me as soon as you can. You know, me and my brother, we've been involved in a shooting. I need some advice." And she had, because remember when it happened, there was no arrest. Everyone was trying to figure out why this is taking so long. Well, apparently, she kind of helped them not get arrested right away and even told the police that he shouldn't be arrested. You know, and it's just interesting. Again, you know, it's all about who you know. So now following this to see if there's going to be any type of punishment for her if she winds up being found guilty. But she posted a $10,000 bond, so we shall see how this one plays out. But, you know, I think the big step was just this past week of the guilty verdict. That was the big foot forward that we needed.
Yeah. And I love the fact that she's been arrested for this. I mean, I know she's out on bond. She's facing 1 to 5 years. And hopefully she gets all 5 years because, you know, this favoritism, I mean, the fact that, think about this. We know about this and the video came out. Why? Because these idiots thought that this video would prove their innocence. Because that's how much they felt this was Rosewood. That's how much they felt this was back in the time when they can go and just lynch somebody and feel it's okay. That, you know what, the good old boy system is going to make sure that we're fine. Because it was only just a Negro.
Yeah.
Okay? This kind of mentality. And you, there's no race baiting in this. This is facts of what it is. Okay? Because at the end of the day, that's why they felt justified in, oh, let me put this video out. And thank God they did. You know what? That was my fine good old boy is the work of Jesus.
Yeah. I still remember watching the video of them chasing him. I'm just like,
yeah,
the whole thing was messed up. And remember how it was the guy videoing it. Everybody thought he was like a good guy because he was just trying to get it all on camera. You know, he was a part of the whole deal too. And so
he tried to block him, everything else. And
yeah,
and think about this. The McMichael guy was a freaking investigator. How shitty of an investigator is he? Because with absolutely no evidence, he wanted to detain this man because he was black. Do they need to go back and check everything else he's ever been involved in? I mean, seriously, this is Georgia.
Well, Georgia.
Well, Texas. Well, the South. Oh, well, the United States. Yeah. Shit. Looking, having grown up outside of this country, I can tell you, I've been in different parts of this country. Ain't shit different. It's all the same. I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, we shall see. But at least, you know, some good progress was made over this story. If you look at the three big stories of 2020, it was George Floyd, the officer found guilty. Still haven't heard about the other three that were involved. Remember the other ones that stood around and haven't heard about that.
But I mean, nobody tried to go, "Hey man, take your foot off his neck."
Yeah.
"Hey man, chill." They were just like, "Whatever, this is normal."
So you had that. Then you had Wisconsin. And actually, Ahmaud Arbery happened before George Floyd, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because the thing about Ahmaud Arbery is that it happened so far before, but the video came out later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm glad they were found guilty. And I'm glad this woman is going to go down for this as well, too, because...
Well, we don't know that yet.
Too many people in positions of... Well, at least been arrested for it. The thing is that there's so many people in power that follow this good old boy system. And get it, there's a difference between the good old boy system and the hookup, okay? So let's make sure we get that clear. There's a big difference between some extra fries and getting away with murder. And this has been going on for way too long, and hopefully we can finally clean this up in some way, shape, or form. We'll take each little bit as it gets better.
Yeah, well, it is about power, And even the hookup is about power. You know, if you're just the fry guy and that's it, you have no power. Now, if you're a supervisor and you're like, hey, Yanni, what's up, man? I'm going to get you some extra fries. You can do that because you got power. You got title in your name. You know, you're just a regular person. No, you just put the cheese on the nachos. You got no power to give me a hookup.
I can give you more cheese. A little more.
Yeah.
Just a little more. Hey, you know, somebody, speaking of power, somebody who got some power here, man. I was so happy to hear about this because I didn't really know about this guy. Mel Tucker, Coach Mel Tucker. He's coach of the Michigan State football Spartans, right? I'm not a big Michigan State fan. Why? Because they're a rival of Notre Dame. Well, we don't give a shit about any of the rivals of Notre Dame because we like to beat upon them, right? But Mel Tucker, let's talk about him on this because this brother has been doing great stuff with the Spartans, right? To the point that they just gave him a contract extension. I remember the first thoughts, words I heard about this was right before they played Ohio State. Not this past weekend, but last weekend. And I remember him being interviewed and I'm like, well, he really has zero personality. And hopefully he's much better motivating the team the way than when he was doing that interview. But then come to find out that, you know, they offered him this extension and the details hadn't come, but they gave him this 10-year deal. Then the team took the field against Ohio State and whew, thank God that deal was on the table before that game because at halftime it was 49-0 and at least they finally scored before the game was over, 56-7. We find out this week, this past Wednesday, that he had agreed to a 10-year, $95 million contract, right? And I'll tell you how big this deal is. So he is set to get $9.5 million over the next 10 years, right? Per year, with a $5.9 million base, $3.2 million in supplemental compensation for like media and personal appearances and all that good stuff, and almost half a million dollars in annual bonuses. The only coach that makes more than him annually is Nick Saban. Nick Saban makes $9.7 million a year right now, right? And you think of some other big names, Dabo Sweeney from Clemson, who, you know, who's got national championships under his belt, who's got, you know, appearances in the college football playoffs under his belt. His contract is worth $92 million. Jimbo Fisher, who used to be at Florida State, you know him now because he's at your rival school at Texas A&M. He makes a little bit more than $9 million a year. So for this black coach to be the second highest paid coach annually in college football, kudos to you, my brother. Kudos.
I don't knock him at all because if he winds up sucking over the next 2 years and they got to fire him, he's still going to get paid, right?
His money's guaranteed.
Yeah, so he's still going to get paid. So I don't knock him at all. I do look at the AD from Michigan State to be like, what are you thinking? Like, why are you offering championship money to a coach and program that's not been a champion in a long time? You know, like that, I don't understand that thought process. It'd be one thing if they were on track to have an undefeated record this year and they're on track to go to the playoffs. But what's the motivation behind like sealing this in? Michigan State has not had the program of old in a long time, right?
You want me to tell you why? So he used to coach under Nick Saban, right? But also, there are a lot of very attractive jobs out there right now. USC is one of them. LSU is another. Do I allow somebody else to come and take this coach away who has built this program up from the dungeon that it was in to make it now? They get getting their first 10-win season, I forget how long. You're going to reward that coach. I'm never going to say it's too much because Notre Dame gave Charlie Weiss a 10-year deal and ended up having to pay him out even when he went to go coach at Kansas because he threw out there that the New Orleans Saints were interested in him because of that first season at Notre Dame. And it's, luckily for you, they picked up Sean Payton instead and not him. And unfortunately for us, we were stupid enough to give him the money. Michigan State did the same thing here to make sure nobody else picks this guy up.
But why not do 5 years, $50 million?
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that either.
Because if he winds up, you know, the program goes from sugar to shit over the next two or 3 years, you're only out $50 million instead of $90 million. Because then for you to bring in another coach, you can't come in lowballing with some small offers. So, I mean, I just don't understand the thought process behind it. I'm sure more, you know, smarter people than me obviously make these kind of decisions. But
yeah,
to me, just on paper, I'm like, I don't see 90 million guaranteed for 10 years. 95 billion guaranteed 10 years. And based on just a 10, and then you got their asses kicked by Ohio State.
It was bad.
Yeah. So I'm just, let's,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And maybe their thought process was, in 5 years, we're going to have to offer him another 10-year worth $110 million. So let's just go ahead and do it now. But again, my brother, I wish you the best. I hope you do well, except when you play Notre Dame.
He's got to do well, whether he wins or loses. You can't tell me. you got 95 million reasons not to have a little bad attitude if you lose a game. If you're just like, well.
All right, y'all went out there. We didn't score a point the last four games. You know what? But everything's good. Let's do it again.
But we're having
fun.
We're having fun.
I don't give a shit. If I lose this job, I'm fine.
Totally all good.
I got 8 more years of $9.5 million coming towards me. Let's go.
Since you brought up, you know, the great state of Texas, we got a lot of crazy stuff happening here. Before we talk about the governor, though, I want to talk about my good friend, Ted Cruz.
Of course you do.
So, Gavin Newsom, who's governor of California?
California.
And they're dealing with, you know, some just COVID stuff, like every other state. They still remain in a state of emergency. And they announced that Gavin Newsom was going to Mexico for vacation this week. So,
oh boy,
good old Ted.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Please say he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So with California in the throes of a state of emergency, Governor Newsom is vacationing in Mexico for the next week. Ted Cruz comments, Cancun is much nicer than Cabo.
Oh, wait. It's worse than I thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. That just goes to show Ted Cruz didn't give a shit about everyone that potentially died and froze. And all that stuff on his little trip that he thinks this is funny to crack a joke.
Oh, so, my God. You know, the problem is, you know who else thinks that's funny? All the people are going to vote for Ted Cruz and make him Senator Ted Cruz in Texas. They thought that was funny. They laugh. Ha, ha, ha. You know, Cancun is better than Cabo.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it is.
Even though they've never been.
Totally is. Yeah, the dude he just every week just says something. This is why I still say to vote him out. Let's just see what happens. I know you feel that Texas is good to Florida and going to become Flexus, however you say it. And you could be right.
Close enough.
I'm just hoping that the good citizens here remember this and vote him out.
They won't. I mean, some of the good citizens will. OK, let's get that clear. The good citizens will. The people that you're actually speaking to and trying to mobilize and tell them to get out there, register to vote, not just register to vote, but make sure you vote and vote him out. First of all, I don't know if there's a challenger to him, if there's a good challenger, if there's a worthy opponent. Regardless, I'm sure anybody will be better than Ted Cruz. But the number of people who are going to think that are going to be outnumbered by those who go, that's right. Cancun is better than Cabo, and so is Corpus Christi. And they're the people that are going to be voting for Ted Cruz and why he's going to be Senator Ted Cruz again and then back in the running unless his daddy, Donald Trump, decides to run in 2024. He'll be back in the running for President of the United States. And we're going to have nobody to blame but Texas, because Texas is going to Texas, Texas is going to Florida, Texas is going to Flexus. And Senator Ted Cruz will be so again.
Well,
unfortunately.
Maybe, but also, what if we have Governor Beto O'Rourke or Governor McConaughey? Maybe that could could balance it out. You know, I can put up with Ted if I got Mr. All Right, All Right, All Right sitting in the Capitol.
So here's the thing, because I saw this, and this poll said that people think that he would be their first choice for governor, or their preferred choice for governor. Has he announced that he's running? Because I saw Beto is running, but has McConaughey said he's running yet? No. If he did, what would he run as?
No, he hasn't said that he's running. He just knows that everybody's talking about it. I don't know. You know, I would, you know, I used to believe that, you know, actors and celebrities don't need to be in politics, but look at Reagan, look at Trump, look at all these folks, right? That it happens.
That's proof that they shouldn't. Reagan was not a great president.
Yeah.
Don't believe the hype that people are giving.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know,
and we all know what Trump was.
And so, like, to me, I don't see what, I don't think I could vote for McConaughey. Now, if it was down to, let's say, McConaughey and Greg Abbott, yeah, I'd vote for McConaughey. Let's just see what happens. Because I don't want Abbott.
Who has a better chance of running, Beto or McConaughey? Because, you know.
Well, from, I don't know. I would think Beto has a better chance of winning. I mean, he really, when he ran for president, he really picked up a good following. A lot of people, you know, saw he was. And then when he ran for senator, he screwed the pooch on that one and got crushed in the debate by Ted Cruz. So I don't know. I don't know. Depends on what Beto shows up. I hope it's a better, someone that can fight harder than the last Beto that ran for Senate.
I mean, think of the debate. You got Beto who, like you said, screwed the pooch the last time. Then you got Mr. All Right, All Right, All Right.
That would be an awesome inauguration. Everyone's just standing outside the Capitol building. That would be a dope. I'd go to that party. Shit show.
But you know what? That would be so Texas. So
it'd be so awesome because we'd all be out there playing the bongos, smoking weed, all the different things that Matthew's been known to have done in Austin.
Not wearing deodorant.
Yeah, just getting just wild and crazy. It would be awesome party. I would go to that.
Well, since Texas is all throughout this entire episode, why don't we play a little game of Florida, Texas, or somewhere else?
All right.
All right, so I'm just going to read the headline. You tell me where this comes from. Man cited for driving a motorized cooler without a license. Is that Florida, Texas, or somewhere else?
I'm going to go with Florida because in Texas, like, that's just, we call that tailgating. Like, I don't see the big deal.
How are you going to get the beers from this tailgate?
That's just called being efficient. It's like the golf course. You got a beer girl on the golf course. Well, you got a beer guy on it. Just zzz. Hey, beer me, bro. Lift it up, toss it.
You know what's so bad? I can totally see it.
Yeah.
Like, don't you have a bigger one than that? Yeah. Well, you're right. It's definitely not Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Florida. It's actually somewhere else. This was in Australia where a man was cited for driving without a license and they confiscated his vehicle. The funniest thing about this, and we're putting this up here, right, so you can see it. You see what this thing looks like. Well, take a look at this picture because this is what they brought to take this cooler away in.
I mean, they could have just picked it up. Walked it off. It's a motor, some wheels. Can't be more than, what, 80, 100 pounds. Just pick it up.
Yeah.
Two people. Put it in the trunk. You don't have to close the trunk all
Did
the way.
Did you really need a tow truck? Yeah. Did you really need a tow
that
truck?
That big of a tow truck. Like... There's smaller tow trucks than that.
Oh, my God. Okay, how about this one? Florida, Texas, or somewhere else? Woman who married herself is now divorcing herself after meeting someone else.
Hmm.
Florida, Texas, or somewhere else?
It's definitely not Texas. And I've never heard in the U.S. of someone marrying themselves legally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say somewhere else.
And you would be correct. This is a model, Chris Galera, down in Brazil.
Oh, well.
Who just...
Brazil.
I'll be honest, I looked at this and thought, Merla?
And, that sounds like something Merla would do.
But she just married herself in September.
Mm.
Not of last year, in the middle of quarantine, this year.
Mm.
Right? And she... grew tired of relying on men, so decided to marry herself in a formal ceremony. 33 years old, said she wasn't disappointed to not have a groom and instead was embracing going at it alone. Well, she's now met someone special, and the best part of this, to be quite honest, is the comment section.
Mm-hmm.
As it always is. There are people who are like calling adulterer. No, adulteress. she hasn't given it long enough. I'm sure if she waited, she'd start to love herself more. somebody says, has her ex been approached for comment? And somebody said, yep. And she gave an identical story. She also met someone else. If she couldn't live with herself for 3 months.
But it goes back to what we said in the beginning. She fell in love with herself, even though maybe the sex wasn't everything. And so she's met someone else that could do the job that she couldn't do for herself. Boom.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is how you come full circle. Look, make sure you follow us, man. Our first, we do our audio episodes, drop it on Monday, videos on Tuesday. Like Terrell said, we hit 400 subscribers. We're going to do a regular guy's random giveaway, $100. So make sure you comment below and we'll put, you could be in the running. You'll be in the running for it. And we'll see who gets that $100 Cash App, Venmo. And January 5th, we are back. Married at First Sight, season 14.
That soon?
Terrell's so happy.
That soon?
January 5th. As soon as we get back. Jesus. They're not bullshitting around. We see, that's the problem. We used to have breaks in between it.
Yeah.
Now that the season is so damn long, there's no breaks in between it. They're filming it now.
I mean, why can't it be like, you know, The Boys on Prime? You know, you got a season, then you got to wait like 6 months to a year. Then you get another one. Or why can't it be like Matrix Resolutions, where it's been a decade before the next... I would love that.
I know you would. Oh, my God. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
And make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.